It's a dream that we all have of finding something spectacular in life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Chapel, California, with Absolute Philosopher. It's a dream that we all have of finding something spectacular in life that we can hitch our wagon to a star. There's a fellow over in Bosnia who found what he thought was a pyramid. And then it turned out that he thinks it's not one pyramid, two, but three and four pyramid. And then he says they're connected underground by chambers and tunnels, and he hasn't even gotten on the top of them to see what it is yet. He knows that they're covered with dirt, and they appear to be a pyramid. Well, whether they're a pyramid or not doesn't really matter. All that matters is those people believe in it. And so they're acting about it as a pyramid might be. And the founder of these pyramids had gone to South America and Mexico and Central America, and he had seen the Mayan pyramids, and he had seen how they were staircased and stepped and so forth, and how they were covered over with jungle, that the jungle grew up over them over a period of time, and they were no longer, people just didn't even know they were there. Nobody cared, and nobody knew. But then archaeologists and people started doing research, and they began getting support to do that. And so they dug in there, and they found it. So, John Jones went down to Central America, and he found one of the pyramids of the Mayans. And he says, "Oh, my goodness, my goodness." And he came back home, and he told his friends he found the pyramids of the Mayans down there. And his friend says, "You are full of beans, you know. No way. Pyramids are in Egypt. That's where pyramids are supposed to be. They're not supposed to be down in Central America." And yes, they are there. Yes, they are. And so then he brought down his friends to look at it, and his friend says, "Well, maybe, you know. They were really covered over with vines and jungle. Very illegible to know anything about it." And so this person became a dedicated researcher into it, and he went down there with friends and started tugging away at the vines and figuring out how to get into it to see what it was. And occasionally he made a mistake, and he went into the wrong part of the jungle where there was no pyramid. But finally, he found a pyramid, and that opened up the door for everyone to come in. But this was not an overnight affair. This went on for years and years and years of people doubting him, and he was alone in his research on this. Well, here in Bosnia, these pyramid-like hills are right out in the open next to cities, next to a little city, and the governmental people of that state have decided to support this man in researching it and figuring it out, because if it's true, that'd be very nice. And while it may or may not be true, they're getting all sorts of positive publicity and positive attitudes from the world about them. It has become a red badge of courage, you might say, for that Bosnian world, which had known a lot of unhappiness. Now, this fellow comes along, and he is doing his best. Well, the Bosnians are all for him, and they're supporting him not because of the pyramids, but because of the publicity, the positive publicity that it brings to them. And the people who are in the area are investing in him, in his idea, in his program, not because his idea and program are worthy of investment, but because the investment might be worthy of having to get money back on him. Because it'll make money, because many people are investing into the program, and he is offering jobs for a lot of people to do research and work. Now, the early Mayan discoverers did not overnight come up with a solution, come up with a proof. People call them silly, crazy, and unrighteous too. And there are people who are living in Egypt. And these people living in Egypt, going to the Great Pyramids, they had no delight in them. In fact, the early people who found the pyramids did everything they could to loot them, to take out of the pyramids everything they could find that was a treasure. And fortunately, they missed King Tut's tomb and a few of the others, which were really treasures. Of course, we'll never know how much treasure was in the other tombs because they were all taken out. And there's much of that that goes on in the world. And people belittle other people and their dreams, not realizing that to have a dream and to follow your dream and to live your dream is one of the most beautiful things anyone can ever do. Your dream doesn't have to be logical or reasonable or purposeful. It doesn't have to be something that can be proven. It doesn't have to be something that ultimately will make a mark in the world for itself. But it's just a matter that you have a dream and you're following it. You have a vision, a goal, a purpose, an ideal, and you're living up to it. Now, you may make mistakes along the way as you're living up to it. You may step on a few toes and you may hurt a few people's attitudes, but stand forth for your dream, because as you stand forth for your dream, you find that it brings forth results for you that you could never dream possible. Yeah. Many of the followers of Jesus, they believed he was going to set the Jews free, that he was going to be the king of the world, you know, the king of their empire. And it didn't work out that way. He never told them that, but it didn't work out that way. Perhaps their other messiahs were going around saying those things, and they just equated what the other messiah said to Jesus, because if he is a messiah, then surely that must be his goal too. And what is the messiah's goal? It is to raise people out of poverty into happiness and success, into a better way of living. So, how do we know? How do we know? How many religious evangelists believe in what they're doing? It's interesting now, there's a series of articles that is being written in the Popular Science magazine. And the articles are, what would our presidents of the United States do if they had the opportunity of being guided by the wisdom of Einstein and other great thinkers who not only thought in science, but they thought in humanity too. And then it goes on to refer to many illustrations of where Einstein had given great advice, as he had given to President Roosevelt when he was alive. And he gave great advice and great suggestions, and people didn't follow it. And at the time, they were ignored. And at the time, no one paid any attention to it because he wasn't known to be important in that field. Mm-hmm. He wasn't known to be important as a thinker, as a philosopher, whereas every scientist must be a philosopher, because they're working on things that are invisible. They're working on things that are unproved, and perhaps unprovable, but they're working on these things, and they're doing beautiful things. Like our 13-year-old boy the other day, who spent 2 years, 1 year doing research and 1 year building his atomic fission machine and having it be a successful device and really putting out atomic fission. But as the article points out, it was on a very minor basis because it was a very minor device. But it did have atomic fission. Mm-hmm. And here this young boy who just read somebody else's work, and for a year he constructed his machine from 14 to 15, and he gained world reputation for having done such a thing successfully at such a young age and privately with no help from anybody else. Oh, he got help on the internet from people he asked, but he did all the work himself. Now, do you think his friends saw he was crazy? Mm-hmm. What's all that junk you got in your garage? Mm-hmm. What is all that stuff that you're building there? You don't know anything about it. And he didn't. He didn't know anything about it. He just thought, hey, I think I'll build one. So he learned. And he happened to have a very agile mind that picked up the information and he learned it. Now his friends, as he was doing this, if they knew about it, the friends who liked him supported him. Now the friends who were not sure about how bright he was, they discouraged him, but he didn't talk to anybody any more than necessary. He just did his own thing. That's why scientists, poets, authors, artists of various ilk, like to be alone when they do their work, because if people come in and discuss it with them while they're doing it, then it won't be them. Like Stephen Stressley, he was writing a book for the first time, and I said, "Stephen, I'm right here to be helpful to you in any way you like me." He says, "No, Herb, I want to do it myself. I want to do it myself regardless that I don't have the benefit of your guidance. I want to do it myself." And I thought to myself, what a wiseacre, you know? What a wise boy. He is really going to put out something that is going to be his own. And he did. He wrote a marvelous book, I'm told. He wrote it in German, and I haven't read it. But the thing is, he is one of our students of the university here, and he wrote this book. Now he's in the process of writing another book. And that's good. Good for him. Write all you can. One of them might take off and be a bestseller. All of them are going to have wisdom in it, that's for sure. But as people look at him, when people saw him on the soccer fields as a young boy, they never thought he'd be writing a book. They never thought he'd be having his doctorate in philosophy. They never thought he was doing all these things that he subsequently did to make him into the revealed genius that he is. Now, but he's doing something about it. He is following his dream and going after it and living it. Now, as we follow our dream and go after it, we won't be encouraged by people, because people won't understand what we're doing. But we don't need anybody to understand what we're doing. All we need to do is to follow our dream. And when we follow our dream, we'll be the happiest people that you ever could want, because we're following what our heart tells us to do, and it satisfies us. And it's wonderful. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.